From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quimry. The Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska will soon offer bingo at Elizabeth Peratrovich Hall in Juneau. Proceeds will support the tribe's statewide scholarships and other services. The tribe announced plans to hold bingo every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, starting next week. They'll also sell pull tabs. Janice Hotch is the tribe's business and economic development director. She says frequent bingo nights are important to elders.
For them, it's just a fun gathering place to see friends. And during the pandemic, you know, all of that was taken away from them. So I think, you know, we're providing an opportunity for that gathering.
Filipino Community Inc. hosts bingos on Thursdays and Sundays. Bingo manager Sila Garcia said she's worried about competing for Thursday night players.
You know, our hall is already small, so we don't really have a big crowd over there sometimes. So, yeah, it's very concerning.
Hotch says she hopes bingo players will continue to support all organizations that host games.
You know, we hope that folks will visit our bingo and all the other bingos, because certainly there is a need out there, and it's all charitable gaming.
Bingo at Elizabeth Peratrovich Hall will run from 7 to 10 p.m. with doors opening at 5. Annie Bartholomew's new album, Sisters of the White Chapel, started out as a songwriting project, then a musical, or a folk opera, as she calls it. In Juneau last summer, local actors and musicians took to stages wearing Victorian gowns and telling reimagined versions of real stories that real women lived over 100 years ago. Now, she's releasing the songs as an album. That's Annie Bartholomew playing Mountain Dove Song in the KTOO studio. It's one of the tracks on her new album. Sisters of Whitechapel is about the Klondike Gold Rush from the perspective of the sex workers who worked in the mining towns.
I wanted to share how difficult those times were and how little power these women had, but also what they made of it and how it is a survival story that you just don't hear when you think of Jack London or Into the Wild, you know.
The idea for Sisters of Whitechapel took root after Bartholomew toured the Red Onion Saloon in Skagway, a restaurant and museum that used to be a brothel. The tour was campy, but it stuck with her.
I was just a little bit haunted by the true stories that I heard and the artifacts that I saw.
It shifted her perspective on what sex work meant at the time.
Though I have not lived through anything as traumatic as that, I just had so much empathy for these gals and found that a lot of the narratives I'd been told about sex workers and prostitutes were wrong. It just busted a lot of stereotypes that I had because of media, and I really wanted to use music to examine them.
Bartholomew said that some historians in Southeast Alaska shy away from the brutal choices that these women faced, and that it's often whitewashed or ignored in tales of the gold rush.
But they are our history. And we're living with the consequences today.
They think they can buy my silence. They think, what can money buy? They tried to sell me back my virtue. I wouldn't lose a dollar thinking about the price.
I think anywhere you see resource extraction communities, you get all of these other social ills like man camps and missing and murdered Indigenous women.
She said she worked to balance the exploitation of sex workers with the fact that they had agency and their own wills.
Yeah, my mom said, it can't all have been bad times, Annie. And I think if you want to find the trauma and hurt and tragedy, it's everywhere. But they also had good times, and they also... we're entrepreneurs.
Each song on the album is original, except for one. The Cuckoo is rewritten from a traditional folk song. And one song found its inspiration in a miner's poem from 1900 that was published in the Daily Klondike Nugget.
One of the things they did to entertain themselves was write poems and publish them anonymously in the paper. All for the Klondike's Gold was a poem that I had read and kind of absorbed, and then just ended up reworking for this song.
The song is a lament of a woman whose husband died on the Chilkoot Trail.
All for the Klondike's gold, my love, all for the Klondike's gold, all for the love of golden gain, all for the Klondike's gold.
Bartholomew went back to the Red Onion to record a video of an early version of one of the songs. She said she finished writing the song on the ferry to Skagway.
It was very magical to finish the song on Lynn Canal with the wind in my hair and get to practice it as much as I could before having to, like, put on a skirt and corset and then go record it.
She recorded the album at a cabin in Juneau's Eagle River United Methodist Camp with all Alaska artists. Bluegrass musicians Aaron and Andrew Heist backed her up on various strings, Marion Call helped with vocals, and Kat Moore contributed to voice, piano, and bass.
My producer, Justin, came in from Gustavus and drove up everything needed to turn that spot into a full-fledged recording outfit.
The album comes out June 16th. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.
In 98, we were Yukon bound, 30 miles, she ran aground.
Kindred Post in Juneau will sell early copies of the album during a pre-release party this Friday. Bartholomew said she wanted the Alaskans who've been supporting her all these years to get a first listen. And a disclosure, Bartholomew previously worked at KTOO until 2019. And the Arctic Resilient Communities Youth Fellowship launched last year to bring together young people from northern countries around the world. Their interests span climate change advocacy, economic development, and indigenous rights. Alaska Public Media's Kavitha George spoke to one of the 2023 fellows who's focused on bringing an indigenous perspective to science.
Charity Ropati is settled into her bedroom in New York City. She's a 21-year-old senior at Columbia studying civil engineering and anthropology. And though she's found community among other young Native activists there, she's itching to get back home to Anchorage.
I still want to continue doing research, but I am going to return home because there's no place like Alaska, there's no place like Anchorage, and I'm really thankful for that community.
Ropati's university research focuses on how the ecology of Alaska is impacted by climate change. One of her projects looks at the increasing abundance of the pink-flowered plant known as fireweed. Fireweed is a hardy summer wildflower known to grow back quickly after a disturbance in the soil, such as wildfire. She's studying how climate warming can cause changes in soil chemistry that allow fireweed to grow further north.
Obviously, that's happening in the Arctic. And for Native people, when fireweed grows, it's an indicator of change. It's an indicator of change is coming when a new season is coming. And so my research kind of validates that pre-existing knowledge.
Ropati, who is Yupik, Samoan, and Mexican, is intent on building a career as a scientist and climate advocate, improving life for Alaskans, and importantly, centering Indigenous knowledge in her work.
Indigenous knowledge is science. The way we care for each other is science. And a lot of people, when they think of science, they think of, like, it's empirical, it's solely numbers, it's solely quantitative. But I really want people to think about, like, what this industry and what this field would look like if people actually care for each other.
Ropati grew up in Anchorage, but has roots in Congiganuk, a village of 500 people located at the mouth of the Kuskokwim River. As a kid, she spent summers in the village, learning to clean, cut, and dry salmon from her grandmother. Today, a crash in chum and chinook salmon along the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers is hitting Congiganuk and other villages hard.
Native people, our people, our communities who've been living here for thousands of years, our freezers are empty, and that shouldn't be the reality. So it's scary to think about.
Climate change is likely a big factor in the salmon crash. The massive Bering Sea pollock trawl fishery may also share some of the blame. Ropati says it's difficult to watch Western Alaska communities suffer as a result of problems they didn't create. For her, it's another reason to encourage more Indigenous representation in the scientific community, to prioritize subsistence rights and climate resilience in rural Alaska.
Because Indigenous land management, statistically, it works and it's better. We have healthier forests, we have healthier rivers, we have an abundance of fish and wildlife and healthy biodiversity when we manage our own lands. And so research can be used in that way too, to give autonomy back to Native people.
Soon, when she graduates, she's hoping she and others coming up behind her will be able to further those goals themselves. In Anchorage, I'm Kavitha George.
You're listening to KTOO.